Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your host, and I'm joined in the studio today with Sister John Paul of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Sister John Paul and I are continuing our series on virtuous living, and if you've turned into us in the past, you know that we both are committed to sharing the good news on virtue. She is an educator and I as a Catholic therapist, because we both believe it is our pathway to our true joy on earth and our everlasting joy in heaven. And today we're discussing how we become better disciples of Christ. So welcome again, Sister John Paul.
Thank you, Marianne. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you with me. So the topic of becoming better disciples of Christ, I think, how do we go into that? Let's start at the beginning. What does it really mean to be a disciple of Christ? Maybe we could, you know, parse that out a little bit and then dig in deeper.
Sure. Well, I mean, the origin of being a disciple of Christ really comes from Christ himself. You know, he says, you know, follow me.
Okay. Yeah.
So then we begin to follow him by imitating his words and deeds. You know, and it really is an invitation to follow me. You know, he says at Peter several times in scripture, you know, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he rises from the dead, sees Peter again, you know, at the sea fishing, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So everything that you're saying then really is like it would take us back to scripture and look at what Christ did as he walked this earth and how he,
That's
what
right.
did he do when
That's
he was
right.
here? How do we follow him?
Right. And Christ is the example for all of us on how to live. Now, the trick is translating that to our day and age.
Yeah, that's always,
you know,
the trick.
But his words and deeds become a guidebook and an inspiration for us to love others and to imitate. And so in this discipleship, we are imitating Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
I was going to say is that in being disciples of Christ, we've received what he gave to us, which is, first of all, his Holy Spirit that he breathed on us, but also the gift of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we were to unpack discipleship, we would look and say, well, what does the church give to us? You know, so we look at, well, we've got the creed, you know, and that's what do we believe as disciples of Christ? And then, well, we have the sacraments. So a disciple of Christ lives sacramentally. And so how do we worship God? The sacraments show us how to receive his life and give him back his due. And then we have the moral life, you know, in the Beatitudes. Christ raises the bar. It's not just the commandments. You know, it's the gospel message of love, even our enemies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then blessed are the merciful. Going through the Beatitudes of what leads us to true happiness there. And that's our moral life. So how do we live as disciples of Christ in response to God's call? And then the other component that ties it all together is our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
How does Christ pray? You know, preeminently, he models for us the disciples' prayer in the Our Father. And so we tie it all together with prayer. Pray ceaselessly, as St. Paul says, you know, as disciples of Christ. So we kind of can look at Christ's life and the pillars of the church and sort of put it all together and say, this is what it means to be a Christian following Christ.
And so, again, this all ties in our personal lives and in the lives of our family through virtue, which is kind of really what this overarching thing is. Our theme is living virtuously. So that's how we practice it. How we talk about what the virtues are, and we will go into all of that further down the road in future shows. How we live virtuously, how do we make it practical in our lives? And I love that. And I think that, interestingly, there's a philosophy of virtue that comes not just from the church, but it comes also from, if you go way back, Socrates, Plato,
That's right.
and Aristotle and things, they believed that virtue, they looked at it as from the standpoint of human nature, and it was centered on man's own effort to obtain excellence.
But I love, and you being a Dominican sister, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, very near and dear to your heart, he taught that the pursuit of Christian virtue is different because it's rooted in God's love and grace. So I think that that's really everything that you're talking about when you just gave that intro section there of what does it mean to be a disciple. You're talking about that virtuous life coming through Christ.
That's right. That's right. And we can look at virtue really as being, you know, when all this is sort of tied together with like a bow on it in the human person.
Yeah.
You know, we see the good being put into action.
Yes.
So I think, you know, you bring us back to some of the ancient philosophers. And I love this concept of people of goodwill, you know, that we hear. We like to talk about, so all people of goodwill. We hear that, especially, you know, since the United Nations, you know, after, you know, that we can speak to each other in as humankind of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, well, if we're all of goodwill, we can all sort of recognize that we ought to do good and avoid evil.
And but they might not call it evil, right?
They would do good and avoid bad. Right, do good and avoid the opposite of good.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
The opposite,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the ancient philosophers,
mm-hmm.
they were all united in the same concept, right,
yes.
of do good and avoid evil.
Yeah.
And so they had their own concepts of virtue that were based in human nature. I mean, that's the idea of being virtuous is not a new thing.
Yeah.
And if we look at many concepts that are out there, you know, it's interesting. We talk about our families. We know so many of our families try to have their kids in Catholic school, but may not be able to do that. And so we have public school systems, and we have all sorts of ideas floating around. And in very often you'll find where they can't preach the faith or talk about the faith or bring in Christian values. Now they're talking about character and virtue.
Sure, character building.
Yeah. You know, character building and these mm-hmm. anti-bullying programs and all of this. And so we want to make a clear distinction for our listeners that we're talking about not just virtue on a human level, as in terms of Socrates and Plato, these philosophers of just, they realized a life of virtue is necessary for happiness. You know, virtue is order and harmony and being what you ought to be. They realized this. But Christian virtue that we're talking about that comes with following Christ and being a disciple of Christ is actually something intrinsically different, wholly different. And it's because the origin is not in the human person, but in God.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sister, I think that with that, Christian virtue has so much more to offer. I think that human virtue or natural virtue or whatever,
right.
the pursuit of good and the avoidance of bad or evil or however they would look at that, I really believe that they try to stay away from the word evil in much of society today. But it offers so much more. It's such a deeper concept.
Yes.
And the rewards are much deeper.
The rewards are deeper. And I think, you know, many of us, and I'm sure many of your listeners driving today, have something going on in their life that is burdensome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the burden of feeling like I myself have to make all these good choices all the time, that I have to somehow find the energy within me to constantly choose the good,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not make wrong choices. Now, of course, we're all obligated, you know, I mean, we are responsible for our actions, but this idea that a power, you know, a supernatural power, so to speak, that's greater than I, you know. In other words, grace, God's grace can come and dwell within me that mm-hmm. can give me the strength to overcome these burdens, addictions, difficulties, situations that I just couldn't overcome otherwise. It's like, why wouldn't we want to hear more about this? You know,
exactly.
That really it's God's grace in us. So living sacramentally, you know, finding those times to go to confession. Never underestimate the power of confession to unbind people from difficulties. You know, all of these, you know, making time for regular prayer. So particularly, you know, we talked about, you know, Lectio Divina,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I would say going back to this is reminding all of ourselves that at baptism, we received God's grace to live a virtuous life. And it began there, and we're all marked, if we're baptism, we're all marked for eternity, you know, as children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this grace is waiting to be unfolded to us. Not only did we receive grace, but we received the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, mm-hmm. and the ability to be infused by God's grace to live the moral virtues. And so seeing it not just on a human virtue, that somehow I have to make good habits, but realizing that God's grace can give us this interior disposition to begin to be inclined to the good that becomes natural, second nature to us, in fact, sort of divine, you know, God's life. You know, we become divinized in a sense of mm-hmm. becoming children of God, more like him. Mm-hmm. It's actually tremendously freeing.
Oh, yeah.
It brings tremendous freedom to people, freedom for happiness they wouldn't otherwise have known.
Right. I guess with that, you know, as you're saying all of that, I'm thinking how much grace, it supplies what nature lacks.
That's right.
So we all know, yeah, mm-hmm, it builds on nature. We all know that it's wrong to be a bully. And there's no happiness that comes either to us, really, truly, yes. or to the person that we're bullying.
Right.
We know that there's going to be a certain level of happiness or peace or whatever in our schools or wherever if we would all avoid that and we would just try to be nice to each other.
Right.
Even in difficulties. If we tried to be nice, we'd have a certain level of peace and maybe some happiness. But the deeper thing that we're talking about, I think, even is this really supernatural gift when we do this in a Christian way. When we seek the true virtues, and in future shows, we're going to really, really discuss these virtues in a much deeper level. But the joy, the freedom, as you say, that comes from that, those are gifts of the Holy Spirit that come in.
That's right.
Yeah, that aren't just the simple kinds of things like, oh, isn't it nice to be nice to each other? Everybody can be nice.
Sure.
I hope that distinction is clear to our listeners in a practical way there.
I think when we talk about joy, I think, you know, we realize that ultimately joy comes from experiencing love.
Yes.
And, you know, so many lack a genuine experience of love in their life for all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. And the joy that comes from love ultimately comes from the love of God.
Yes.
And again, going back to this idea of being a disciple of Christ and following Christ, you know, at baptism is when we begin that journey. Mm-hmm. And we are given the grace to be in relationship at baptism with God the Father, with God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit. And so always being tremendously loved by God infinitely for all eternity. It was God's love that brought us into existence. The rest of our life is spent trying to figure out how do we receive that love, mm-hmm. you know, in a mindful way, and then to be able to give it to others.
Yeah, how do we share it?
So mm-hmm. in that journey of receiving God's love, and practicing love for others, mm-hmm. that's where the joy is. We all recognize that. Doing a good deed for someone else, even if they never know, you know, leaving that little note in the kid's lunchbox, or, you know, leaving flowers for somebody and not telling them where it came from. You know, these little gifts that are, you know, they talk about random acts of kindness, mm-hmm. you know, but why does that give joy, you know, to even, you know, perhaps even a non-believing person.
Because we're loving them.
Because
we're loving our neighbor.
And it corresponds to how we were made.
Yes.
To be loved and to give love.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, and my guest is Sister John Paul, a Dominican sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Today, our topic of discussion is being a disciple of Christ and growing in our discipleship. We become a disciple, in a sense, at baptism, right? We become, we're welcomed into the family of Christ at that moment. We become Christians. Yes. And now it's our duty and our joy to live it out as we grow up. And life throws us all kinds of challenges. Earlier, I was talking about a particular challenge that I had. This was before we went on the show, of being angry recently about something that had happened in my neighborhood. I was angry about it, and I was walking with one of my neighbors, and I realized that I I guess this particular thing might have been something that I was righteous in being angry about. But I realized that I had to be Christ for her because she was angry too. So did it do any, either one of us, any good going forward to really get into gossip about this and to say mean things and hateful things? Did that help anyone? Did that help her? Am I helping her if I do that? Because my responsibility, I felt, was to her. Mm-hmm. To be Christ to her in this moment when yes. I felt so angry myself. Yes. And I knew that I had to make a choice to somehow in the midst of all of this be virtuous. It wasn't easy. I will tell you that, sister.
I imagine.
And so what I was really, I guess, trying to hang on to was the hope that in some way I might be able to forgive or I might be able to direct her because she's non-Catholic. How can I be really Christ for her mm-hmm. at that moment? Mm-hmm. That was what I was trying to figure out in a very challenging situation.
Yes,
so can
yes.
we talk more about this? Yeah, how do we yeah. really bring it down to a practical level?
Well, I think we always need to get practical because that's
we do,
really, you
because
know,
if we're up in the clouds talking theory or things that we need to learn how to live it. And that's what this is all about.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, I would say for in that situation, sometimes, you know, we will feel angry about something, and anger in itself actually isn't a sin necessarily. It can just be an emotional response to something that's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, well, what do we do with that? And so, of course, if that anger hardens into sort of resentment, or I'm going to get back at them,
mm-hmm.
or just sort of where you allow it to sort of, you know, sort of blacken your insides, so to
yeah.
speak. You become dark,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of what is festering inside of you. Well, then that is sinful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were to look at sort of the classic understanding of there being virtues and then there being vices,
mm-hmm.
what we may need to say, okay, well, I have this strong emotion or irascible anger, you know, emotion stirring up in me. I need to kind of let it cool down.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of be able to see it on its you know, face value with reason and say, okay, well, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's right to be angry about that, but I need to have a sense of patience. So practicing the virtue of patience in that situation would be the right counter.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we need to practice patience heroically, where it's not just, okay, I'm going to count to 10, you know, sort of like the self-help books, you know, breathe, be mindful, all of these things. But actually, I'm going to bear these wrongs, you know, that I might be receiving personally, or in this case, your friend receiving, bear these wrongs patiently,
mm-hmm.
almost as a work of mercy, as an imitating Christ, with a certain level of meekness and sincerity of sort of accepting this burden and finding a way to carry it for others.
Do you know, sister, I love what you said, and this goes back to when we had the show on Lectio Divina, and you talked about preparing yourself.
Yes.
You know, just having that time of quiet. And just that just hit me right now when you
yes.
were saying, you know, you have to calm down when you have anger or something.
Yeah.
Calm down. This is something I do with my clients all the time, too.
I'm sure.
When there's anger, it's all right. Just because you have it in your head doesn't mean that it needs to come out of your mouth. Doesn't mean that it needs to come out in your
all
arms and legs.
All parents can understand this. Yes, all parents.
Right.
We all can relate
yes.
to this.
It means that you
children.
Put the filter. You put the filter through what is in your head.
Yes.
You build that filter. You calm down. Now, what yeah. a better way to calm down than to go to Scripture? And that's one of the techniques that I teach people mm-hmm. is in that moment of calming down, pray. Or go to Scripture
right.
and read, like we talked
about. Or simple aspirations to the Holy Spirit, you know,
yes.
and simple things. So we talked about, I think, with this idea of developing an interiority.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we need in our world a culture of interiority, you know, one that supports silence, of being able to find as St. Catherine of Siena, you know, good Dominican, you know, what is that interior cell? Where is that place that we can go to be with God? And perhaps in that place, there's a mirror, which helps us grow in self-knowledge. And so if we're talking sort of practically here, there are many things we can do to sort of set the stage for living virtuously. But in a specific, particular sense, maybe we find for ourselves through prayer or just our own knowledge of our personality, what's the right thing that we might say in a moment where we need to sort of come back to ourselves? You know, I love that in the story of the prodigal son, the great parable on God's mercy, this moment of transition for him, conversion was, and he returned to himself is one way of translating right? When he's in the pigsty, you know, he came to his senses.
Yes.
That moment of conversion, of realizing who I am meant to be. No, I'm not meant to be a slave in a foreign country in darkness, you know, but I'm meant to be free in my father's house and back in a relationship of sonship or as a daughter to the father. And, and so this moment of what is it that you might say or what is your image for yourself? So in that case, with patience, I might say, well, we learn to say, Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes.
Maybe that's the right small response.
Or Jesus, give me the words. Give me your words. Let them be your words, not my words. I pray this. I can't tell you how many times a day I pray that. Lord, give me your words to say right now, not my words. Because if they're my words, they might be very wrong. And you think about how this impacts families. Like if a mother or a father was just so frustrated with their children.
Absolutely. It happens.
Oh, it happens all the time. Sure, it probably happens as a principal too, doesn't it? you have these frustrations, but you think about the power that you have by taking a moment when you're angry and just saying, Lord Jesus, please come here and take control of this situation.
That's right. And we've got to be open to the Lord. And it goes back to, again, not that I'm somehow going to become some sort of stoic personality that's going to be able to handle these situations and be patient, but that it's, I need the Lord to enter. So
yes,
this receptivity to the Holy Spirit, where we're setting this stage for the Lord to act in us, that's a point of departure for being able to then live virtuously.
And I think as a parent, when you realize that you have that power to impact your children in such magnificent ways, just by how you handle anger, that you can control that, you can teach them so that they don't have to live a life of anger and bitterness. They can learn forgiveness. There are all of these things that you can teach them in just such common everyday things that come up where.
Absolutely. And, and this kind, you know, this idea of also learning forgiveness from others in this life is critical. You know, we need to model being able to ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness. And that is in our relationships, and that's also in our relationship with God in the sacrament of confession. So, I mean, certainly, you know, modeling that, okay, we need to begin over, you know, we need the grace to start again, this seeking conversion. So ultimately with the disciple of Christ, you know, going back to sort of how we started, what does it mean to follow Christ? Why be a disciple of Christ? You know, because it is the path to true happiness, true joy, living in love, receiving love, giving love. But then that path, what it looks like is this, you know, living virtuously, living sacramentally, seeking conversion, you know, asking for forgiveness, being able to give forgiveness, these receptivity to the Holy Spirit, following Mary's example, the word becoming flesh in us. This is what it means. This is our faith.
And you know, sister, when you talk about forgiveness, oftentimes when I talk with my clients about forgiveness, there are major, major things that people need to forgive. And so we wonder like, well, what's in it for me? I mean,
everything.
I hear so often. Yes, but that's not immediately apparent. Number one, why would I forgive them? They've done this, that, the next thing to me, huge, massive things. Well, you know,
that's
it's
where the
not
anger comes
about,
in too.
Yeah.
The hard part.
It's not about us being the ones who give retribution. That's for God. God is the one that delivers the judgment, not us, on those things.
And
if
we
can separate that, but what's really in this for us and in our families, you know, is if we don't forgive people, we live a life of bitterness. We teach bitterness to our children. We pass the bitterness on to our children. If we're able to forgive and we model that for them, you know what? We give them rather than bitterness, we give them freedom. We give them joy. We give them peace. They don't have to take all of that baggage with them through life. So, any final thoughts, sister?
Well, I think with that, you know, with forgiveness, you know, I mean, how are you to forgive? You know, 70 times 7.
Yes, exactly. You know, and because that's what we talk about in the, that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about,
you know,
right?
The Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive as we forgive.
Yes,
and ultimately, forgive. I think it's, you know, the joy in all of this actually comes, I think, ultimately from God's mercy.
Yes.
And so when we realize that his love poured out on us is mercy, and we can rest in this state of saying, Jesus, I trust in you, right? And in that freedom of being a disciple of Christ, it's not up to me. It's not my human will being able to choose the virtue. I mean, of course, we have to choose it by, but you know, by acts of the will, we have to practice it. We have to know what it is first, you know, be educated in virtue. We have to practice it. We have to persevere on it. But that is done always accompanied by grace.
And the Lord gives us mercy, and that's our gift to give on to others. That's so thanks for joining us on the Family Sanctuary today. And thank you, Sister John Paul, for being with me again. We hope that you'll join us next time when Sister John Paul and I explore more topics on virtuous living. If you'd like more information in the meantime, you can go to educationinvirtue.com. That's a website by the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. We've created this series as a tool for individuals and families. We're all seeking happiness in one way or another, and we oftentimes go off the rails. But this series, we hope to bring you all back on track, ourselves included. So next time, seek that happiness and be that vision of mercy for other people as well. God bless.
God bless.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.